Betsy represents a part of our family that is not going anywhere. This, everyone gets this scared look on their face, you know. Betsy's daddy and family live in Puerto Rico, as well as others in our church family. Betsy hasn't heard from her dad, thinks he's safe. But if you've caught any glimpses on the TV, it's pretty devastating. So just imagine if you had a family member and you had not heard any word at all. And so, Betsy, if you'll let me, I want to pray a quick word for you and your family. So, Lord, I pray for Betsy and her family as they await word from their family in Puerto Rico. And I pray, God, that you would give safety. I pray for Wanda Flores. I know her family is there and no doubt others that I might not be aware of. And so I pray, God, that as they patiently wait and place their family in the care of your hands and those who are on the ground serving and rescuing and doing their work, that, God, you would give peace and comfort and aid, and that you would supply every need according to your riches in glory. And I pray this not just for Betsy's family, but those who still suffer loss around the globe in Florida and Houston and Mexico in the recent horrible earthquake and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and on it goes, God. We who are blessed offer our praises to you for our safety and comfort and give us opportunities to help in any way we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, lady. Appreciate you. I do want to missed one announcement. As we begin transitioning, I would like to have a meeting with all the parents of our children and youth next Sunday morning. Next Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. It's hard to know when to have these kinds of gatherings, but. Rest assured, if you can't come, that we'll certainly get information to you. But I felt like maybe it would be a good opportunity to meet with our parents of children and youth. We can just talk about what's going on and our next steps, and we will certainly also do that with our congregation. I don't want to do it today just because I want to stick with the idea that before we move on, we need to take our time and honor and bless the cheeks. And so anyways, I'm telling you at least that much so that you parents can prepare and plan next Sunday at 4 p.m. up in the banquet hall. Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. This morning is has been named Freedom Sunday. It's a day that has been set aside to focus on the devastation of human trafficking, and it's a day where we should consider that there is no one outside of the realm of God's care and love. Amen. And as I speak today, I'm preaching on the subject because I think we as believers, we must avoid, especially when we live sort of in an environment that's fairly safe and comfortable, I always want to ensure that we don't stick our heads in the sand and say, well, that doesn't affect me. But the reality is it does affect all of us. And so I'm going to speak on the subject, but here's the little caveat to all of this, that anyone who does not know Jesus is living in some form of bondage. It's called the slavery to sin. So as I talk to you and I preach and I give points this morning, I don't want you to check out because I'm talking about this social subject, because I'm going to bring it back to all of us and give God the opportunity this morning to speak into us and give us hope if we're living with some sort of bondage in our life that's got us wrapped up, that God can deliver us through Jesus Christ. You still believe? I know you do. You believe in the fact that Jesus is still a liberating Savior. Amen? He's still in the business of that. And so I know I spent a lot of time in this realm, but the reality is you and our world need to continue to grasp the idea that we can live in complete freedom through Jesus Christ. And so we want to get there. So I want you to stand with me this morning as we read together these words out of John chapter 4. They are familiar words to you if you know your Bible, and it's the story of the woman at the well. I know some of you want me to sing like a woman at the well, but I'm not going to do it this morning, although I'm really tempted. Half of you wouldn't even know the song. But I'm old, and I remember those things. But I want to read you the story. It is in the Bible. So, Lord, your presence has been sweet this morning, and I pray that as we read your word, I need help, Lord, as I preach. Get me out of the way. Let me say what I have to say and let you do what you do. And may all of us here in this place, Lord, may all of us in this place be able to live in the freedom that Jesus came to give us. And I thank you that there are many here who do. And may there not be any of us who miss it. So bless the reading of your word just now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. First one, John chapter 4. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. And eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refuse to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How could you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." That's my prayer, that all of you here today will have a bubbling spring of water flowing out of you, of joy. Anyways, that's good preaching, and I haven't even preached yet. "Please," it caught the woman, it caught her attention. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go get your husband," Jesus told her. "Well, I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus says, "You're right, you don't have a husband. For you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." It's interesting that in the presence of Jesus and the proclamation of truth, conviction sets in. And an understanding of what Jesus can do for us also sets in. That's what's happening to this woman. "You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, this time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about them, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus said to her, I am the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. And you may be seated. I don't know about you. I've already mentioned it briefly that I live in a pretty sheltered life. The reality is I don't spend a lot of time thinking about things like human trafficking. Sure, I should. I'm convicted about that. I live in this sort of safety bubble. Some of you do. Some of you work in the environment of ministry to those who are close or involved in human trafficking. Our own David and Kelly minister in Cambodia to these young girls. There are those in our church, LaDonna and others, who participate and minister in environments that are similar, but where people are in desperate need of hope and the love of Jesus. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, and probably the truth is the majority of us in this room don't either. But it's a social problem that we need to be aware of and pray about and participate in as God gives us opportunity. So I want to see what the Word says this morning about freedom, and I'm going to use the woman at the well as the couch to sit in to understand how Jesus moved into relationship with her in order to present himself as her Savior and the Savior of the world in a compassionate and loving way. Does that sound like a good plan? The three of you do. That's good. The rest of you, you'll just have to sit and listen. I'm just kidding. So while journeying through Samaria, Jesus encounters a woman at a well. Jesus breaks every cultural norm out there by talking with her. Not only was it unheard of for a woman, a man to speak to a woman in this culture, it was twice as culturally inappropriate for a Jew to speak to a Samaritan. And then you add to it this woman who had five husbands, who is now living with a man who wasn't her husband, was rejected by her own community, and she's marred even more. And it sort of explains why she's there at the well drawing water at the hottest part of the day. It wasn't when women came who they did this sort of work. This is the work that women did. It wasn't the time of day that women did this. They would wait until it was cooler, but she didn't want to be seen with the other women. She didn't want to take on her the pain and the conversation and all the stuff that go on in that social environment. So she picked the hottest part of the day to go and get water to drink and be sustained. So if you think about it in this way, this woman represents the lowest of the lowest of the low, and there she is that day. And Jesus just happens to show up. By show of hands, how many of you just really believe that Jesus just showed up randomly? Yeah, I don't. You know, Jesus is omniscient. It means he's all-knowing, and he knew she would be there that day. Can I just stop here and just say to you this morning that Jesus knows exactly where you're at? Someone needs to hear that today. You're struggling. You're waiting for God to answer a prayer. You're wondering, God, where are you? How is this going to work out? And if you know Jesus, it's not like you've abandoned him, but I think sometimes you say, where are you? May I just say to you, he knows your address. Amen? Have faith today. Endure. In Greek, hupomone is the word for endure. And one of the definitions of hupomone, I love that word, endure. It means the same, long obedience in the same direction. And I just need someone to hear me today. Keep on enduring. Keep on obeying. Don't give up. The answer's coming. That was all for free. It's not in my notes. So Jesus shows up that day. This woman is there. He knew that she would be there for an encounter. And so Jesus steps up to the plate. He speaks to her. And he not only speaks to her, but I love his approach. He discusses some deep theological truth with her. And really, she just needed to hear theology of love. She just needed to know that there's a God who loves her unconditionally. And so he launches out on this discourse. This woman, and she found acceptance, forgiveness, grace, and a new beginning. And Jesus did not define her by her past, but as someone made in the image of God, worthy of God's love. Our past mistakes don't have to determine our future. Amen? God always offers the same chances to everyone for new life. And God wants to use this church. And he wants to use you. And he wants to use his love to give a chance for people. And on this day, this Freedom Sunday, I want you to think about you, and I want you to think about those you love, but I want us to think about those who are outside of our four walls, who today are somewhere in a dark corner, somewhere in the darkest of the dark, who have no understanding or clue that Jesus loves them. And those are the people God has called the church to reach out to somehow, some way. Not all of us can go to the darkest of the darkest corner, but we have to at least be aware that they exist and be willing to do something about it and do what we can to do something about it. Does that make sense? We all have our calling. We just need to be aware. I want to use Jesus as our model. I need to get into this. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do with those who are lost in the darkest of the dark? Well, we see it right here. Number one is this. It's real simple. This is a simple message. Jesus valued the woman enough to go to her. He valued her enough to go to her, to find her. This was a woman who was so looked down on by her community that, as I said, she preferred to face the noonday sun than get the judgment of the other woman at the well. Yet Jesus loved her enough to hone out a time, knew when she would be there. He stepped into that realm, and he went there to meet her. Last week or the week before last, and the week before last, I talked to you about what are you doing with the people in your life, your one, your person that God is leading you to have you reached out to them? Do you know who they are, and are you making strides to reach out? Well, Jesus went to her. Jesus had stayed within the bounds of culture, what could society accepted as considered acceptable. He would not have spoken to her. He would not have gotten near her. And so, church, the truth of this point is that God has called us to do the going. Again, to go after those who as far as we know, no one may be reaching out to them with the love of Jesus. You know who that might be for you. So Jesus went to her. Number two, Jesus helped the woman come to a better understanding of who God is. Have you talked to anyone recently who has no church background? A show of hands. You've talked to someone who has no clue. They don't get it. A few of you have. You know, if you've ever talked to someone who has a real interest in religious stuff, but they don't know anything about the Bible, it can be pretty challenging. And I think that puts fear in a lot of our hearts because we don't want to get on that uncomfortable territory where we may be asked a question that we can't answer. I've got a solution for you. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. up in the banquet hall, Jack Williams is teaching an awesome class on how to read and interpret the Word of God and put it into context that you can understand it and you can communicate it. You need to go to Jack's class. That would be a great one for you. But Jesus begins to engage in the conversation. I just want to point out a couple of things. And the first one comes out of verse 9, where this woman didn't realize that there is no racism in Jesus, in Christianity. She says, she looks with surprise, verse 9, she was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. You know, church, we need to give all of our friends a newsflash. I don't understand why it is not prevalent, but there are enough. It is clear enough to me that we as the body of Christ need to go to great lengths to communicate the truth that racism is a sin. I want you to hear me say that. I wish it would just die down. Okay, Pastor, we get it. But listen, church, it is not over with, and we needed to do our best to help people understand that under heaven, under God's love, He loves everyone regardless of race, face, and place. How many times have you heard me say that? 100 times, but I'm going to keep saying it until I see Jesus and red and yellow, black and white are all together in heaven worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no racism. It is, and the church... Any church that's racism is not a church that belongs to Jesus Christ. When it came to religion and the Jewish religion, you know, it was clear to her that racism was heavy in there. Here comes Jesus. He's this rabbi. He's this teacher. And he's having a conversation. She didn't realize it, but Jesus showed her in Christ there is no division. That'll preach. Secondly, she didn't realize what the main purpose for Jesus being there really was. You know, she says, Jesus says, you know, if you only knew the gift, verse 10, I have for you, you know, I would give you living water. You know, she didn't get it. She says, well, you don't have a bucket. You know, you know, if the well is deep, how are you going to get down there? She had no clue why Jesus was there. You and I live around people who have no idea about Jesus. They have no clue. And you and I need to realize that God has put us there in order to help them understand that it's not just about the job or not just about being their neighbor, not just about being whoever you are to that person. Jesus shows us that there might be a different agenda out there, but we have come into people's lives to give them the good news of Jesus, to share His love and His power and His goodness, and to extend the hand and a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. We've got to get them to see it. Jesus changes the atmosphere and creates a hunger. If you look at verses 13, Jesus is talking about this living water, and she says, please, sir, give me this water, and then I'll never be thirsty again. You know, whenever Jesus is present, the atmosphere changes. That's why I just love to worship with God's people. I can't tell you over the span of years that the Sundays that I might come in here heavy-hearted, and I get to be in this room with you, and you lift up your voices and you lift your hands, it's like this morning, and you just worship like today's the last day. We hear a testimony like Tim and Ashley, and God's presence, just when Jesus shows up, everything changes, and my heart is encouraged. And I thank you for that. So all of a sudden, her spirit begins to change. She wants some of that.
She had to get some of her theology straight. Now, she had to align theology with her life because Jesus, you know, the Spirit of the Lord comes in and all of a sudden there's conviction, right? And he says, it's a setup question. Jesus is pretty tricky. You know, well, you don't have a husband, do you? You know, no, I don't. I just need you to listen to me real quick on this point, church. Again, I guess in this point, I'm talking to the church as more than I'm talking to anybody. Listen, Jesus calls us to complete commitment and obedience to him. Now, Jesus says in Galatians chapter 5, he's talking to the Galatian church about following him, and they were struggling with, you know, doing the letter of the law, and, you know, they were picking and choosing, and Jesus says, this is the way it works, you know. The law-driven thing, you'll never make it. But all I'm asking you to do is to obey. Jesus says, Paul says, just obey Jesus. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Just do what this book tells you to do. So I want to say to every believer here, all of us who are striving to follow Jesus, you know, we live in this cultural, religious cultural day where it seems as if we can pick and choose. But there's no picking and choosing when it comes to eternity and a relationship with Jesus. He calls us to total obedience. And listen, if Paul says of the law, he says to them, if you're guilty of disobeying one law, you're guilty of it all. And that we transfer that thought. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Amen? All of our sins. And he didn't die on the cross so that we can sort of have, you know, 90% of them or 99% and keep that one, that favorite sin we like. And feel like, okay, it's good. There's only one good. And that's complete and total obedience to Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you. Amen? Amen, church? Amen. Come on. Total obedience. There's no compromise. No compromise. You know, we say, well, God's a God of grace. He understands. God is a God of grace. And he does understand. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that you can give all of your sins to him so he could forgive all of them. And so as a completely forgiven person, you stand righteous before him. Listen, if there's anything in your life that compromises this word, you have business to do with Jesus. Can I say that any clearer? Where do you stand with Jesus? So Jesus had to do some business with this woman. She thought God was confined to a place. She says, well, doesn't God get worshipped here, Jerusalem, or on the mountain? And the point that Jesus makes is, you know, with the presence of Jesus, it doesn't matter where you worship. It matters who you worship. You worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, I need to hurry on. In verse 25, she sort of thought the Messiah was someone who would come along the way in some day or time and help her with her problem. And Jesus reminded her that he was the Messiah and he was there right now. Well, when you think of freedom, when you think of what this woman had to come out of, the one thing Jesus offered her, thirdly, is he offered her new life. Her past condemned her, but Jesus forgave her. She had a few options. You know, she was living with man after man after man because they were the ones who sustained her. Well, now her trust and confidence had to be in Jesus alone. And today, whether it's human trafficking or whatever it is, we need to do our part to help and understand and pray for women and children around the globe, and those especially who work with them, to assist them as they find a new way to live, new places to live, new ways to earn money, on and on it goes. We don't know about this woman. We don't know where she slept that night. We don't know what skills she needed to survive. We don't know what emotional and mental scars she had. Did she stay in the village? Did she have to go camp out somewhere? Did she completely relocate to get away from? We don't know, but it's sort of left to our imagination. And today around the globe, trafficking victims are escaping their circumstances and they need a new beginning. And restoration is happening around the globe because believers like you give and serve. Restoration is something that God specializes in. Do you believe that? Jamie and I, sometimes more Jamie than me, watch this show on HGTV called Flip or Flop. How many know what I'm talking about? Now put your hands down. How many men know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's a pretty cool show. I only say that because a few men raise your hands. I'm feeling pretty good now about that. So Flip or Flop. Flip or Flop. You watch that, Shirley? Yeah, it's a good one. I like that show, and one of the reasons I like the nasty part of it. Like, they buy these houses that are nasty, and they're smelly, and they have bugs, and they have rodents, and I just saw a bug crawl across the floor. I hope some of you kill it, David, because literally, but anyway, don't do it right now. Sorry, anyways. And it's awful, it's terrible, damage, but listen to this. The host of the show offer in California dollars, right? Huge amounts of money, right? How do they do that? Anyways, they invest mega bucks to go in there and completely gut it a lot of times and renovate and restore. And what was once a horrid sight in the hands of a professional turns into a beautiful thing. Now, you already know where I'm going. God specializes in taking messed up people whose lives are full of stuff and nastiness and sin and horrid conditions. And when we put ourselves in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we put our hands in the hands of God, we need to understand that God paid a premium. Are you with me? He paid a premium dollar. His name is Jesus. And he died on the cross, paid the ultimate price. And when we invite Jesus into our lives, he transforms us in and out. And what was old passes away. What was sinful is righteous. What was ugly is beautiful. He takes ashes and turns them into beauty. Amen? I didn't come here with it. I need a crisp $1 bill. I'll give it back. Anyone have a nice $1 bill? Y'all looking at me. I'm serious. I need a $1 bill. Look. Everyone get out a dollar bill. You're doing good. I see so much moving. I just need a $1 bill. Anyone got a dollar bill? Miguel? Bring them all up. No, I just need one. That's awesome. $1 bill. Miguel looks worried. I will give you your dollar back, Miguel. He was going to stand up till he got his dollar back. So how much is this piece of paper worth? Come on, it's got the number on it. You at least, you can read the blank, fill in the blank. $1. This dollar is valued as the number printed on it. Nice, crisp $1 bill. Valuable piece of paper. Got it? Pass that back to Miguel. No, I mean like really pass it back then. The other day, Jamie and I were at Pastors and Wives Retreat, our district Pastors and Wives Retreat in Shipshawana. Guess what I did in Shipshawana? Oh my goodness. And we were getting back into our vehicle. Jamie was walking, I was wobbling. And I was walking along and I noticed on the ground is kind of a dusty, gravelly parking lot. I looked down and I saw this. It's just the way I found it. I put it in my pocket. I actually thought about this morning and had texted Jamie and said, bring my $1 bill. She probably thought I was desperate. But she brought it. Because it made me think. Any other piece of paper that was all crinkled up, covered with dirt and grime and dust, and who knows what. I mean, let's not scan this. No telling. Right? Did you know? Well, never mind. That's another sermon. I picked it up and put it in my pocket. And I got to thinking about this question. Is there any difference between the value of this nasty, messed up dollar bill and the one that Miguel gave me, nice, crisp, and fresh? Any difference in the value? None whatsoever. Whether it's people and human trafficking, stripping in bars, prostitutes, addicted to drugs, pornography. See, we're bringing everything under the umbrella now. Some people feel like this dollar. This is the first time I've opened it up. But in God's sight, this dollar, this person, and that person is equal. Every person has value, church. Race, face, or place. The lowest of the low. You know what God has called us to do? He's called us. No telling who had stepped on it. God's called the church. Every chance we get. To reach down and let as many people we know that their value to God is no different than ours. You got that? That's a good word. It's a good word. That's a good word. Lenny, I want you to come up if you would, and we're going to sing the Jesus song. Can't think of the title. You know what I'm talking about. You just sang it. This is the way I want to close. I know it's late. I think, well, Lord, how do you want me to close this? You know, we're talking about ministering to people. And I just heard in my spirit, give people a chance. Maybe you feel lost today. Maybe you feel like you're not valuable. You may be a Christian and you struggle with esteem and you just don't feel it. Yeah? Maybe you have an issue. You can tell me if you want, but Jesus is the one you tell it to. I'll be happy to talk to you about those things, but Jesus comes first. I really don't know how to do this morning, but I think you already know if you're struggling, if you feel lost and valued. struggle. You feel like you feel like you just want to sense the presence of Jesus' arms around you. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Yeah? Maybe you just need to sense His presence. Maybe that's it. Nothing's wrong. You just need to feel His love. Or I don't know how to put it. As Lenny sings this song, why don't you stand? Just stand. I think you know where I'm going. But this morning, if you just need to sense Him valuing you, whatever that looks like, I just want you to step out, come and bring that need to Jesus. You're not bringing it to me. Just trust Him. Put it on Him. Lenny, sing for us. The God's talking to you. Just come on down. He
in
loves
the
you so
morning,
much.
When I rise, in the morning, when I rise.
Go ahead and sing.
In the morning, when I rise, just give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Out, but I just felt this in my spirit. Twenty some years ago or more, I struggled with depression. And God healed me of that. But it's a tool the enemy uses to hold us down. Emotionally, mentally, even physically. And I just felt in my spirit, just to say to any here who's struggling in this area, God knows it. It may be a medical issue. It's real. But it may be something that you just need to give to Jesus one more time, because that enemy hold us at bay. You know what I'm saying? So it can make us feel really alone and unvaluable, which is a lie of the enemy. So Lenny, take us back to when I'm alone, and then we're going to pray. All right, here we go.
When I am alone,
Jesus comes.
Oh, when I am alone, when I am alone, just give me Jesus.
Take it for yourself. close in prayer. If you know someone here, maybe you can just come up beside them. And as we have a closing prayer, we can support them as God leads you. Lord, I thank you this morning. You specialize in freedom. Thank you, Lord, that you deliver us from the chains of sin, the chains of addiction, the bondage and struggles of life. Help us through our issues with things like depression, physical infirmities. God, you know, Lord. Saints, sinners alike. Father, we come to you and just believe this morning. You knew that we would be here just like Jesus knew the woman would be at the well that day. And I pray for everyone here at this altar and throughout the auditorium, praying in their seats. God, you hear them there too. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill each one with living water. We need the living water of your love. We might need the living water of your grace, of your mercy, of confidence, of your word, of truth, of joy. Lord, whatever we need uniquely, each one, I pray this morning, we reach out our hands to you. We receive, the song is Give Me Jesus. It's a cry of desperation. It's I need you, Jesus, more than I need anything. Lord, would you fill our hands and then our spirits with a washing of your word and a washing of your Holy Spirit, and fill us with living water first of all, but God, then fill us with those things in our life that only you can fill us with. I pray that you would remove doubt and fear and anger and hopelessness. I pray, Lord, that we would rest in you today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come upon each of us and that we would testify how good you've been. And I pray against every device of the enemy to discourage and detract and lie to us. We crush the head of Satan today according to your word and by the blood of Jesus. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are our Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. And we celebrate. And now, Lord, we declare once again that we just need you, Jesus. More of you, more Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give me Jesus.
Our ushers are ready. They're primed and ready to receive our offering this morning. And you guys keep on praying. It's all right. So this is an offering. It's just a love offering. It's one more expression of love for Adam and Heidi and their family. So ushers, would you please come? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity to us and for being recipients of the generosity of out of in hiding. And as we give today, Lord, I pray it would be as if we're putting our money right in your hands as we share our love to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget, tonight, 6 p.m., up in the banquet hall, we will gather together as a church family and enjoy time together and celebrating Adam and Heidi's ministry and their kiddos. All right, stand if you would, please. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry to us today, for your faithfulness. Go with us. Help us to have a great afternoon. Bring us back again tonight for a time of family fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you.